Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, The Introduction, Text 48. Mrityar Buddhi Matapoyo Yavad Buddhi Balodayam Yaraso Nanivarteta Naparado Sti Dehinaha Mrityu, death, buddhimata, by an intelligent person, apoyaha, should be avoided, yavat, as long as, buddhibala udayam, intelligence and bali strength are present. Yadi, if, asau, that death, na nivarteta, cannot be checked, na, not, aparada, offense, asti, there is, dehinaha, of the person in danger of death. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every conditioned person, every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided, in spite of one's endeavors, a person facing death commits no offense. Purport. Oh, please repeat. As long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided, in spite of one's endeavors, a person facing death commits no offense. Purport. It is natural for a person facing untimely death to try his best to save himself. This is one's duty. Although death is sure, everyone should try to avoid it and not meet death without opposition, because every living soul is by nature eternal. Because death is a punishment imposed in the condemned state life of material existence, the Vedic culture is based on avoiding death. Tyaksvadeham punarjanma naiti. Everyone should try to avoid death and rebirth by cultivating spiritual life, should not submit to death without struggling to survive. One who is not trying to stop death is not an intelligent human being. Because Devaki was face to face with imminent death, it was Vasudeva's duty to save her, as he was trying his best to do. He therefore considered another way to approach Kamsa so that Devaki would be saved. So the text again. Mrityor buddhi mato pāyo yāvād buddhi balodayam yadyaso na nivarteta na parado sti dehinaha. As long as he has the intelligence, bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, a person facing death commits no offense. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Jara marana mokshaya mam ashritya tantiye te brahma tadvidu kritsnam adyatma karma chakilam. Now those who are intelligent, endeavoring from liberation from old age and death, take refuge in me in devotional service, they're actually Brahman, because they know entirely everything about fruitive activities. Is that the only thing it says? Jara marana mokshaya mamma shitya tantiye te brahma tadvidu kritsnam adyatma karma chakilam. They know entirely everything about transcendental activities. Generally speaking, the conditioned soul, they accept, or reasonably they accept, that we're going to grow old, we're going to feel uncomfortable, we're going to die, and most people have no idea what rebirth means, although some people have some idea they're going to heaven or something like that. But they really don't know what the science behind taking another body is, nor do they really care. Because as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chintyam apareyam cha pralayantam upashitya kama paboga paramam etavam iti nischita asha pasha shikterabhada kama krodha parayana ihanti kama gvogartha anyenartha sanjaya. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there's no measurement for their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. In other words, most people are convinced that there's no higher purpose in life than to satisfy whatever demands our senses, our mind are making upon us. And behind that mentality, the belief actually is godlessness. Although we're trying to understand Krishna, but actually believe the impetus for our not taking Krishna consciousness seriously is godlessness. Ya idam paramam guyam. 16. Imam. Idam adhyamaya labvam, imam pravsemano ritam, idam astiyam apime pavishati panardhanam, asamaya hatakshatror, anishe chaparanapi, ishvaraham aham bogi, sthiraham balavan sukhi, adyo bijanavan asmi, konyo si sadri shomaya, yakshe dashami modisha, ityagana vimohitaha. So much wealth do I have today, and increase more in the future. So much is mine, and I'll get more and more. He is my enemy, and I've killed him. And all my other enemies will also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect. I am powerful. And I am happy. I'm surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. I should perform some sacrifice. I will give some charity. And this way the demoniac is bewildered by ignorance. So this is our consciousness that accompanies us in the material world. And indeed, every asura in our scriptures has to have this consciousness. That these are my belongings, these are my fallible soldiers, Krishna says. Or Shukadeva Goswami says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Deha patya kala tradishu atma sanyeshva satsupi tesham brahmato nidanam pashanapi na pashati. That my deha, my body, if it's strong and healthy, patya, my children, kala tra, my wife, and adishu, and so many other protectors, if I have enough of them, then death will not be able to take me away. I can stay here as long as I want. Although Pashana Pina Pashati, one can see that no one stays here forever. Everyone has to leave and go somewhere else. Now, an intelligent person may ask, would ask, where am I going after I leave this body? And a person who's a fool, they don't really care where they're going. Now, we're here in this body for 100 years at the most. And how much time will there be for our existence if we're eternal after we leave this body? Can we even conceive of it, eternity after we leave this body? So what is so important about what we're doing in this lifetime if it's not helping us prepare for something eternal? Is someone going to waste their time for some temporary life, and then eternally they're going to become, for millions and billions of years, in the lower species of life, or even a demigod in a higher planetary system, wondering when this lifetime is done, and I have to take another body somewhere else. So, human form of life is jara marana moksha mama shriti atantiye te brahma tadvidu kritsam ayatma karma chakila. Intelligent persons. Jara marana moksha, who are endeavoring from liberation from old age and death. And what is the process? Taking shelter in Krishna. Not difficult process, but one has to be convinced that this is an important process. Jara marana moksha mama shritya ashritya, to take shelter of Krishna. Yatan te brahma tadvidu kritsnam adyatma karma chakilam. So this requires intelligence, and it requires thoughtfulness. Are these conception of my life, that these material things that I'm surrounded by, will they actually save me from death? They may assist me in my devotional service at present, but will they save me from leaving this body, taking another one? And where am I going next? And am I really the lord of everything? Am I the controlling everything in this universe? Can I even control my own body? Am I assured tomorrow I'm going to wake up exactly when I want? Or that I'm going to go to sleep exactly when I want? We can't be sure of anything. We don't know if we're going to walk out of the temple and we're going to slip, and that we're going to be in some other place. We have how much of a controller actually are we? But we're thinking, Ishwaraham, I am the controller, aham bogi. And how much are we actually enjoying? What is our capacity for enjoying in the material world? How much happiness did anyone get last night from sleeping? Were you floating in the air dancing during the whole night? Couldn't even remember anything that happened last night. Of course, people are very much enamored by romance, but what starts is courting, as they say, in English, courting means the romance, usually ends up in court after some time. So everyone's enamored with this romance, but how long does a romance last? And how much is it really romance, or how much is it a business deal? I tell you I love you, and you tell me you love me, but actually, as long as you satisfy my senses, I love, so-called love you, and as long as I satisfy your senses, you love me. But as soon as the process of sense gratification stops, the love stops. And then it turns into despising hate. So if we want to live in illusion, life after life, in 8,400,000 species of life, then we won't take death seriously. Oh, so what? So I'm going to die. So let me live and enjoy. Eat, sleep, and be merry. Because tomorrow we die. But actually there's a choice that one can actually use his intelligence and endeavor for liberation from old age, disease, and death by taking shelter of Krishna. It's just a question of becoming convinced that that's what our purpose of life is to do that. And that will actually stop death. That if we stop death, then we'll become happy. Otherwise, it's not possible. Nashti buddhiya yuktasya, nachi yuktasya bhavanaha, nachi bhavintak shantir, ashantasya kutak sukham. Therefore, one who's not in divine consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there can be no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So if we're relying upon anything other than Krishna in this world, then we'll always be in anxiety. because the arrangements in this material world that are being made are beyond our control. Therefore, if we look at anything and we don't remember Krishna, then we'll be in anxiety. Who is this person? What are they doing here? Who are they actually? We'll come up with, Maya will supply the missing, fulfilling the sentence that we have. Who are they? And then Maya will fill in. If we don't remember that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant, acting under Krishna's direction, then Maya will give us so many other ideas who we're dealing with, or what we're dealing with. And therefore we'll always have a disturbed mind, because our intelligence will not be clear. We won't see things as they are. We won't connect reality to what's going on. We'll think the universe is going on haphazardly, and my life is just a haphazard event, that I don't know what's going to happen now, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future. It's all just random, happening by chance. Satyam apratishtante jagarahura nishram aparashparam sambhutyam kimanyat kamahaitukam. They believe that this world is unreal because they don't know exactly what it is. They investigate it, try to look at it through a microscope. They can't figure it out, how it's working. They say it's all going on mechanically, but they can't bring life out of matter. So no one really believes them when they say life comes from matter, whether it's all a mechanical arrangement, because they can't do anything. Only fools who have no intelligence go along with this so-called reality of how matter is supreme. But anyone with a little intelligence can understand that matter is being directed by spirit, by intelligence, throughout the whole universe. But if we forget that, then we fall back into the material conception of life, and therefore we don't know what's going to happen next. We go to the astrologer. As I said, there was one astrologer. One king wanted to find out who was a bona fide astrologer. So he asked all the astrologers in the kingdom to come and give some advice. So when the astrologers came, he asked each one of them, how long do you have left to live? As a test. So they all looked at their astrological chart, and when astrologer said, I have 20 years left to live. And the king said, you're wrong. And he took him outside and had him executed. So in this way, one by one, the astrologers in the kingdom came and gave an estimate of their longevity. And they were all wrong. And therefore, they were all executed. Finally, one astrologer came, the king asked him, so how long do you have left to live? He looked at his chart and said, that depends on the king. He said, you're a real astrologer. So no one really knows. Even you go to an astrologer, they don't know how long they're going to be left to live, most of them. So how can they tell you anything about your future when they don't even know their own? But there is a future, and we know what it is. You just look at your palm and you see your lifeline, and it goes down and down and down, and finally there's nothing left. So we know, everyone knows absolutely what their future is. But whether we're going to accept it and say, well, that's not true, take a knife and kind of like carve it. Got a knife mark all the way down your leg. But that's not how it works. Everyone has to see this mentality of I'm the Lord, I'm the enjoyer, I am perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy. This is all demoniac consciousness. This simply brings us to our next lifetime, where again we're going to be struggling to become the Lord and the enjoyer and the controller and fail at it again. So better to become Paramatma, take shelter of Paramatma, Ashvitya, for the super soul within our heart, and at least acknowledge ourselves as the servant of the servant of Krishna, and ask Krishna what he wants us to do. And if we can get the intelligence through Guru Sadhana Shastra, And hopefully we'll be able to hear the super soul within our heart. He'll give us the intelligence to understand what Guru Sadhana Shastra is saying. Then we can do something to free us from old age, disease, and death. Solve our real problem. Our real problem is not the war here or the pandemic here. Our real problem is we're going to die anyhow. Even if there's no wars, everyone was completely healthy. So we die healthy, that's all. He didn't die from some disease. He died, a squirrel ran him over or something. He was so old that when a squirrel ran him over, he got crushed. That's not the perfection of life. One way or another, we have to leave this body, so we should prepare ourselves for it. And that's the message here, that not that we're going to prevent death by somehow or another doing something strange. Like one man, Prabhupada said, he smeared stool all over his body. So they asked him, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? It's disgusting. He said, well, that way the Yamadutas will become repulsed and they'll never come and take me. That's not how it works. There's better ways of avoiding death. And that's what the Bhagavatam talks about. So I'll talk here. I'll stop here. Anyone, any questions or comments? Yes. Here, over here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Sometimes it seems that devotees have more problems in their life after starting devotional service. Is it, why does this happen?
Well, the real problem is old age, disease, and death. they don't go away so simply, so easily. That's the real problem. And everything else is just a manifestation of those problems. So when one wakes up a little bit out of our unconscious state, then we realize that we have problems. We can't control our senses and mind. For materialists, they have no problem. They're not conflicted at all, because whatever their senses and mind dictate to them, they're willing to serve. Therefore, there's no conflict. Like a dog never feels guilty, or a cat, if it has a mouse and plays with it and then it eats it, never feels bad. You know, I'm sorry you had to eat him. My senses are uncontrolled. Keep on doing these things. That's what my mom taught me, so I can't. No, it's not conflicted at all. So materialists, generally speaking, they have no conscience. They're not really conflicted. Unless someone starts chastising them, then they get conflicted that why am I being bothered like this? But basically speaking, they're encouraged to gratify their senses. Every billboard, every advertisement. So there's no problem for them. They don't think they have any problem. Although they're full of problems, but they just think it's normal. But when a devotee starts realizing the senses and mind it dictating to me, and I have to avoid it, then it's a conflict. I don't want to avoid it, but I should. And if I don't avoid it, then I'm going to feel guilty, but I don't want to feel guilty, so... But why is, if I didn't know all this philosophy, I wouldn't feel so guilty, so I wouldn't feel so bad, I'd feel a lot better. I wouldn't feel like I was so conflicted and had so many problems. So maybe I should try and forget this philosophy. So I can feel normal again, like a normal animal. So it's a problem. It's like before we start chanting japa, then we feel our minds are peaceful, we think everything in the world is right. And then we start chanting japa, and my mind's going all over the world. I think, well, this japa is really disturbing my mind. But actually, we're just becoming conscious, that's all. When you're asleep, everything, you can't remember anything when you wake up, because you're asleep. So we're in a sleeping state, and we start devotional service, we start waking up, and then we start realizing how many problems I really have, how uncontrolled I am, I'm susceptible to doing all the wrong things that will cause me suffering in the future. Otherwise, we're completely happy to just go along and follow our senses wherever they lead us, no matter what they lead us. And then if something goes wrong, we claim ourselves to be a victim. We blame everyone else. It has nothing to do with me. I'm a good person. I'm just a victim. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. So if I understand correctly, that identifying with the body is actually a demoniac quality that we have to take out of us.
What's that?
You said, like, you know, thinking that we are beautiful or powerful. Or, so identifying with the body is actually a demoniac quality.
Yeah, of course it is. It's caused by lust, anger, and greed, which lead to the illusion of bodily identification. Therefore, Krishna says, Dume na vriyate vanir, itara darsho balena cha, itobin avrita garvas, tata tenenam avrita. Just like fire is covered by smoke, whether a mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of this lust. As a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. Yeah, so that's this covering is the sign of our past sinful activities. This identification with the tendency to identify ourselves with the body, but not forced to. With proper intelligence, we can identify ourselves as Krishna's servant and at least to some degree become aloof from our bodily identification. And then when we become determined to utilize this body, mind, and words in Krishna's service, then gradually we come to realize, Krishna will give us the intelligence to realize how everyone is Krishna's eternal servant, including ourselves. So we're now under the spell of illusion, but we don't have to follow illusion. We can follow the directions of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra and take shelter of the super soul in our heart and act as Krishna's servant of his servants and not become deluded into acting according to our false ego.
And one more. So it is mentioned in the verse that we shouldn't face death without opposition. And it is, of course, speaking about spiritually not letting, you know, our life go to waste. But is it also a physical, like, is it also on the physical level?
What's on the physical level?
So when, if let's say, it's a when they have bodily strength and intelligence, so if, let's say, I guess, if you are still functional, if you are still youthful, yeah. Or so you should not, like, you know, just, you know, let death come for you, but you should try to oppose it. So is
oppose
this
what?
Oppose it.
Oppose what?
Death.
Death.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Well, we want to utilize this body as much as possible in Krishna's service, mm-hmm. up to a point. Then we have to just concentrate on Krishna. We have to use our. It takes intelligence. If a car is coming, we don't think, well, actually, what's the problem? We have to, it's Krishna's body, therefore we have to take care of it so we can use it in devotional service and make spiritual advancement.
And if it's not avoidable, then it's something else.
Yeah. It's like, okay. Or if you're spiritually realized, like Rishabhdev, who was incarnation, a Shaktivesh avatar, and therefore when he saw a forest fire, he entered into it because he wasn't in the bodily concept of life. But that's very advanced. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, what this mean really mean servant of the servant of the servant?
Well, Krishna in the simple succession, through the simple succession, has given us instructions. And utilizing those instructions, we learn how to serve everyone else appropriately. In other words, the instructions are not just what to do now, it's also a vision of how to see who's on what level of consciousness and how we can help them become Krishna's servant, advance in their service to Krishna. That's everyone's duty in the human form of life, to use the instructions coming through the simple succession and help everyone become Krishna conscious as much as we can. That means that's how we serve them. Is that difficult to understand? we're already serving people either directly or indirectly. We're giving people either the karma or we're giving them Krishna consciousness. But if we recognize that we're Krishna's servant, then we become the servant of every of all the Krishna's servants. And everyone is Krishna's servant by helping them understand Krishna. Because that's what Krishna wants. And if we help people understand Krishna, then we're serving Krishna and we're serving Krishna's servants. Because that's what they all want. Yes.
Maharaj, you were Vrishabha Prabhu was asking. Again, I'm a bit confused. Continuation of yesterday's question, because as is advised, we should try to do everything to prevent departure of the body, untimely departure of the body. So this
is more or less departure of the soul from the body.
Departure from the body. Sorry, our departure from the body.
Yeah.
And it's a bit confusing because if you take it from a certain perspective, then it's a bit contradictory to our real aim of getting to the point where there is no more departure from the bodies because there is no body.
That's how we try to stop death, is by becoming Krishna conscious. Then death is stopped. There's no other way of stopping death.
But we should do everything also to avoid departure from this particular body. So
not everything. We should do what's necessary, yeah. So we can go on with our devotional service, considering that this body belongs to Krishna and should be utilized in Krishna's service. But we don't spend our whole life just trying to remain youthful and healthy, whatever, and forget about Krishna. We do everything in relation to Krishna.
But for example, His Holiness Kadamba Kama Maharaj, he just dismissed all medical considerations.
Because it doesn't work anyhow. You're supposed to leave this body.
So why shouldn't we do it also?
You could do it too. But in the meantime, Kadamba Kama Maharaj didn't. He had no choice, ultimately. He was going to leave sooner or later. So he could have prolonged maybe for a couple of more days, but in great expense. Therefore, he decided to concentrate his mind upon Krishna rather than trying to just live for a couple of more days in pain. Kwala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.